What's shaking? Hey, I'm Rick Jordan. Today, we're going all in. All right, today I've got an awesome treat for you. Everybody who listens, you know how much I love mindset. You know how much I post about that. Even the little blurbs that I write on my Instagram stories, all the quotes that you see, you know, the majority of those are actually just from me and from my heart, from my mind. And I've got somebody today who's going to talk about this, who has been just through a ton that has probably forged the way he thinks about his mindset. I mean, a four-time cancer survivor, type 1 diabetic, recovering alcoholic, herniated disc, nerve damage, sleep apnea. And he does all this while still doing like obstacle course racing. It's crazy and awesome. Nick, welcome to the show, my man.
Rick, thank you for having me.
I did not try your last name, brother. Can you give me, is it Klingensmith?
You nailed it.
I should have just said it.
Okay. I know, you got it right the first time. And I wasn't going to correct you anyway.
So. Yeah, you know, sometimes I usually ask that before we hit the record button on this, you know, but today I just didn't. But dude, I mean, the first thing, you know, most of our fan base is listeners, right, on audio platforms. But if you're seeing video right now, I see all these medals behind Nick. Dude, are those all the obstacle courses?
So there are 98 completed Spartan races. I don't know how many trifectas. Yeah. That's the big red, green, and blue ones. There's 6 major marathons, including Boston, Chicago, New York, and Berlin. And then just like I said, scores of other obstacle course racing, 5Ks, 10Ks, sufferfests.
Yeah. I love that, sufferfest. That's fantastic. I've never seen one actually named that, but I'm sure that's what you've...
It should be.
Yeah, it absolutely should, especially the Spartan race, dude.
That'll be mine.
Yeah, there you go. Please, I'll sign up.
It'll probably sell out every weekend.
Please do that. Yeah, no joke. Somebody tried to get me into the Spartan race probably like a decade ago, but I was actually, you know, like a lot heavier than I am right now. And I was like, I don't know. I think that looks like the suffer is going to turn into like suffering forever fest if I go through this being like 300 pounds. Kind of crazy.
Well, you know something, that's a great segue, because when I was first introduced to Spartan, it was October. It was a Friday afternoon in October of 2016, and I was sitting in my office, and my boss walks in the office and he says exactly that. I want to do a Spartan racing. You're doing it with me. And I looked at him and I'm like, the fuck I am. No, that sounds horrible to me. An 8 to 10 mile trail run with obstacles. I had no intention of being that uncomfortable.
For real, like diving into mud, everything like that. Yeah. Come on now.
Like, no way. So I went home that night though. And that's when I discovered the problem. Is that I already was that uncomfortable, because I used to be 240 pounds and I had actually lost most of my weight already. So I was about a buck 90, a soft buck 90, but I was okay with myself. I had just been promoted at work. I was 2 years sober. I was dating a new girl that's my now wife. And I had just decisively beaten cancer for the fourth time.
My God. Wow.
And then I realized I had overcome so much to get to that point. And I was like terrified and petrified of losing it all. And I was like paralyzed with this bubble that I had created for myself.
That's insane, man. You said four, I mean, I said at the beginning too, but you said 4-time cancer survivor. It, same cancer?
Well, technically I'm 3-1-1 or 3-0-1. Sorry, that would have been really bad. I've had thyroid cancer 3 times and I had... to be honest, I don't know how to pronounce the name, but it was something back here and it was treated at the sarcoma clinic. So that was the fourth one.
Like pituitary
completely
or something?
Unrelated.
Is that where pituitary
others.
Is?
What's that?
Is that where pituitary is back there? Or is that something
different? It literally was like surface level.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And it was actually hiding. Like there was a lipoma, which is basically like a fatty pocket, which is not usually malignant.
Yeah.
But then there was a lymph node like right there as well that was malignant.
Interesting.
And that one was simple. That one was actually the one that probably caused me the most grief in my life, because I had thyroid for 11 years already at that point.
Yeah.
And so when that one hit me, it was a new word. It was a scary word. Everything was different. I didn't know what the prognosis was. And, you know, you're seeing different doctors trying to get answers. And that's one of the most challenging things about cancer is you want to know what's next and you don't really get that answer a lot of the time. So, but that one was the simplest one. They cut it out of the back of my head, boom, done.
Interesting.
But I actually have had a tumor in my neck for exactly 10 years now since we found it in April of 2014. Only this one, same type of cancer, but it's like hidden, pressed up behind the vocal cords and they don't want to operate on it. because it's too dangerous.
Crazy, man. Wow.
But it's been 10 years and it's still there.
Is there a common cause with all of these with you that they've found, or is it just kind of...
You know, I used to think that someone was just really out to get me, but...
like aliens?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's like God was trying to either push me somewhere or strike me down, one or the other, but nothing that I know of that would be the reason why I tend to have a handful of things more than the average bear.
Yeah.
But... You know, when we talk about mindset, it began with looking at all those things and feeling like I was being victimized by the universe for so very long. I had looked at my life like that. I had looked at cancer as something that I was being a victim of, and diabetes, and just every bad luck thing that ever occurred. So even if there was a common gene that I had that basically gave me all these things now, I no longer look at it like it's something that I'm being victimized of.
That's good. I can relate to that. I'm glad you went down that segue too, because as you were talking, I was like, man, I remember back when I was going through like gallbladder stuff, because it was almost death for me. And I've told the story on the show numerous times, but there was this 8-month stretch to where they couldn't figure out what was going on. And I remember those same thoughts, dude. Totally remember those same thoughts. It's like, why is this happening to me? Who's doing this to me? What did I deserve to have this happen to me? Why do I get the worst doctors? That just might be my lot in life. You know, all of this crazy negative self-talk, but I'm sure you can relate. There's probably good reason for the negative self-talk, because there's real things that are actually happening.
It is, you know, at the beginning, number one, it's okay to process.
Yeah.
However we process. I'm not a therapist, and I don't know, other than physical violence against other people or yourself, I don't think there's a bad way to process.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And that's how it was for me. When I got diabetes, I write about this in my book and I talk about it in my keynote. I was sitting in Walgreens waiting. I was 27 years old, waiting for my first prescription of insulin, trying not to let anyone know that I was fucking crying.
Yeah.
And it was like, because I was just, why me? Why me? And this is then I learned a very valuable lesson, because I asked God and I said, haven't I had enough? Hmm. Well, that was just a few months later. I was diagnosed with cancer a second time. So I decided to stop asking stupid questions.
I like your humor in this. I do want to differentiate too, because it's type 1 diabetes that you have, correct, right? Yeah. So, I mean, there's still a lot of ignorance around this. And it's funny. I catch myself too saying that, because a lot of people think that ignorance is a bad word. It just simply means you don't know something.
You don't know.
Exactly. It's simply that. Like, I wish people would catch on to that too, you know, because and this comes down to like the negative self-talk and the judgmentalism, and like, it's a mindset thing. It's completely a mindset thing. Like, oh, you just think I'm stupid or something. No, I just think you don't know. And that's okay. So yeah, please, I like to bring you the knowledge, you know?
Now, I actually gave a talk earlier, a virtual meeting with this company, and it was their emerging leaders. And when I was asked, like, what is one thing I should advise emerging leaders, the very first thing I told them was to embrace their vulnerability. The three best words that you can say to build credibility is, I don't know.
Yeah, right on.
How else are you going to learn? And, you know, it's funny, because I do talk about this with obstacle course racing too, because what I find, and this is what a lot of people I work with on coaching too, they're not people who are stuck because they're losers. They're stuck because they accomplished something and then they don't know what to do next.
Hmm.
A lot of people get to these places, and I did too, all right? I was a good leader for a lot of reasons, and I was a bad leader for almost the same reasons, because I was good when I was a student, when I was learning from everyone and everything. I became bad when I went from learning everything to protecting my ego.
Mm.
And that's where I've caught myself being hung up on, is protecting that image I think I have, or not wanting someone to know that I don't know something. But I realized just how much I walled myself off and that I was no longer learning things.
Dude, that's such a, I love how you approach that. I was in a, I, this is a fresh story because it just happened this morning, right? I'm in a meeting with, because I'm acquiring companies. You know, I don't know how much you looked up about me before you came on the show, but I'm acquiring companies in the cybersecurity space after we went public. And this was a face-to-face meeting that a potential seller, like we call them targets, right? And want to say, hey, I want to get to know you, a face-to-face. It's like, hello, buying signal. It's like, I see that, right? That's great. He wants to meet face-to-face. But in that meeting, I'm sitting here and I'm saying these things. It's like, yeah, prior to November, I've never taken a company public before. You know, and it, like, I've never done this. It's like, man, 4 years, that's actually pretty quick for this. I'm like, I don't know. Like, literally, I'm saying this like, I don't know, because this is the first time I've ever done this stuff. I'm like, there's things I do know. I'm like, but beyond that, it's like, there's a lot that I don't know. And I like to stay in my lane because I've got good mentors on my team that have done this before and can take me down a path that they've forged in order for me to follow down that same path and then learn this knowledge. I'm like, there's stuff I'll talk about, you know, that I do know. Some people might call it arrogance. I'm like, I don't think so. It's just a fact. And the guy's like, I don't deal with arrogant people. And you're like the farthest thing from arrogant that I've ever seen in my life. And it was literally because of that, dude, because I was telling him, it's like, I know some stuff and there's a lot of stuff that I don't know. At the same time, I've got the right people in place to help guide us forward.
I used to say that I was always cocky about the things I knew to be cocky about.
Well, there's a difference there too. There's a difference between arrogance, I think, anyways, right? Arrogance and being cocky.
Well, I'm using that in the same concept, at least. That, but even then, I realized that, and I'm looking back at myself. So the last couple of years, and I mean 2 years, I have been in this constant. Just when you start a path of self-reflection and you start learning stuff about yourself, I don't know. I can't speak for other people, but I can't shut the damn thing off. And then, so this is good though, because I don't have to hide from my previous mistakes anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I get to learn from them. And a lot of that, I never realized how much ego played a factor in my decision-making, both in business and relationships and a lot of things throughout life. And I'll tell you what, one of the biggest things, this was my my recognition of the turning point, is when I wrote my book. It took me 2 years. And the first version, the first year, was 125,000 word ego manifesto, all right? It might as well have had Jake Gyllenhaal on the cover. I talk about—
You kind of look like him maybe a little bit. But
well, I got the—
Yeah,
profile, I
there
think.
You go.
So I tell the same stories, but I can tell that I'm protecting myself. I'm not being truly vulnerable. And I'm even making excuses for some of the behaviors in the book, which quite honestly, at this point, loses the power of the book. Mm. Because if I'm not being honest about who I was, nobody's going to care about who I am.
Yeah.
And so when I went for that second year, though, of revising, and I cut 37,000 words out of that book.
Wow.
That's when you start realizing that the bullshit you've been telling yourself, and when you strip it away and then you start to see it over and over again and you become okay with it, because now I don't have to hide or make excuses for past behavior or decisions or failures or anything where I wasn't up to where I expected myself to be.
Yeah.
I don't have to live in that anymore. I get to grow from it, learn from it, and use it to help others.
I love that, man. I love that this is going down the route of ego too. Because it's, I forgot my question. It was a damn good question too. It was around ego, but it's, there's scenarios to where I've seen individuals to where they become aware that that's an issue, right? And then they still don't do anything about it. Can you explain, and you probably went through that phase too. I know I did. You know, I'm actually like calling myself out because it was a portion of that. So it's two-parter. So, I remember the second part now. Okay, here we go. Yeah, I get excited. The first part was, it's like when you become aware, how do you actually make sure that you begin that ego work? And some people call it shadow work, you know, to go into that and kill that. And at the same time, do you think, I have my own opinion, do you think that killing the ego is a lifelong thing?
I'm going to answer this 3-1-2. So killing the ego or preventing the ego is a daily grind for everyone, whether they admit it or not. And here's why. Because what I have found is that, and now I'm answering number one, ego comes from fear. It's not, my ego was never that I thought I was better than other people. Mm. But I was protecting what I had built. I had protected a false image. If I believed it, if I was confident, I wouldn't be threatened by somebody else not seeing it. My ego was based out of fear. It was fear that the validation I got from certain people in my life wouldn't get that validation anymore. It wasn't true. And ultimately, the way that I arrived at this, and this is why it's a learning process, I didn't learn this until 8 months ago. And here's why. So when I left to become a speaker, and I really wanted to, I just wanted to identify my people more, right? It's one thing to have a story. It's another to tell it to people who don't care or won't
That's
be
true.
Impacted
right
by
on.
It.
Yeah.
And I had an idea of who my people were, but I'm like, maybe not. So what I did is I actually started interviewing people, people that I knew, but weren't like close buddies with, just people in my circle. All right. Like I might see them at a race or maybe we worked together a long time ago, but these are not my best friends. So I wouldn't expect them to be truly open and vulnerable. But the second question was, what is your deepest fear? Overwhelming response was this fear of not being good enough, a fear of rejection, that they weren't good enough for their loved ones, for their families, for that they were fear they might not be able to provide, they might not be good enough for this, they won't fit in. This overwhelming majority of people talked about that. And so I was blown away at their openness and vulnerability. That's number one.
Yeah.
And because of that, I started to examine my own role, my own decisions, my attitudes, my reactions to certain things. Plus, I've been working on reactivity with my dog, and I realized that so many of the times that I was aggressive, I was acting out of fear. Fear about my ego, fear about how whether or not the reality I wanted for myself was reality. Fear of not getting what I wanted or of losing what I had. And so that is why I think that it is a full-time thing, because somebody out there right now is talking about, I don't know, you know, I think I suck at everything. Well, you know what? That's, you are just as bad.
That is, that's like the epitome of ego right there.
It is.
Yeah. Like, cause that's like, hey, look at me. I'm a victim of myself.
Everyone has that friend, right?
Yeah.
who is the best at everything until you start complaining. And then all of a sudden they have the worst of everything.
Yeah.
They have to be at that extreme. Like that's,
yeah.
That's insecurity in so many different ways. And the way that I'm now more and more secure with myself is that I'm able to recognize these, share these things, but most importantly, and this is number two, this is how we kind of begin to get past it, is we use it to help others. There is nothing more humbling than simply helping other people, whether it be through spreading a message. This one ready. Let someone out into traffic. Just put somebody, the needs of somebody else besides yourself first.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'm gonna share something with you, a little vulnerable here, and I'm gonna ask you to coach me on it real time. You good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. My biggest fear, right? You ready for this? Is not finishing what I was put on this earth to do. Yeah, and that can even have seasons, right? Because people have an overall purpose, but then I believe that people also have seasons of purpose, and that purpose can shift. You know, because it's like you can close the chapter on one like mini purpose, right? Like one sub purpose, and then you can move on to something else. There's an overarching purpose, but it's like my biggest fear is finishing everything I was put on this earth to do, or not finishing.
So first, let me say that I agree with you 1,000%, by the way. You and I could do this all day.
Yeah.
Because the people that I'm coaching, that's the very first thing we have to understand is that they finished or are starting a different phase or season of their life.
Yeah.
I played competitive beach volleyball for 20 years. I wrote something in 2014 where I basically, what would my life look like until I die? Beach volleyball was the like biggest part of that thing. I haven't played in 8 years.
Wow.
I might not ever play again. I'll never play competitive again. And that's okay. That season is over. And I've accepted that. And once you accept that these things change, you can be ready for the next thing. I don't know if I'll do this forever. I hope to always be active and do something, but we'll see how else that evolves. So that said, the first question I need to ask you, what are the things that you want to do in your life?
Yeah, I want to see. I don't have a number on it yet, but it probably starts with a B, as in billion, right? I want to, as some sort of causality that I am able to be a part of, whether that's like the breakthrough moment with that person or just planting a seed with that person, then somebody else comes along, you know, wherever that is, something that they want is helping around 1 billion people get to where they want to be in life. Yeah. And that could be career, that could be job, that could be relationships, that could be, you know, I don't know, a politician, you know what I mean? To help even more people that way and have that spider web out. So, well, I've never placed a number on it, but I think million, you know, or a couple million people, I think that's too small. I think that's way too small. Like the purpose that I think that I have is bigger. It's like if it's 1 billion people to get from point A to point B, whatever that point A or point B is in their life, whether it's the seed planter or the breakthrough helper.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that I think I know the answer to because you kind of just explained it. But so that this is what I would call the vision
and
not the goal. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Absolutely.
And because a lot of people, right? A lot of people are lacking that, number one, yep. where you're like, in the back of your head, you're asking yourself, can I make this number bigger? How do I make this dream and vision bigger? What is the way I multiply this impact? So the first thing I have to work with other people on is getting them to think that way, to have an abundant mindset and to get out of this limited doubt thinking. And I even share a story about when I was in my like 22, 23 years old, making a whopping $42,000 a year with probably $80,000 in school debt, $30,000 for the, like, I never saw a way out. And that, so I wasn't motivated to do more at work or to live my life because I never saw a way out of that inching forward lifestyle. And so number one, if I were coaching you, that's the first thing we'd have to work on. We're now, you got that one good. So the question then I would have to begin to ask you, well, now let's see, right?
Yeah.
I think I lost video here.
Oh, am I still there?
I hear you.
You hear me? Oh, you did lose it. Oh, hey. Okay. There we go. Hey, I'm back.
We're back.
Yeah. Woo. Okay.
All right. If I were working with you already, I would assume you don't have a plan. So I'm going to ask you, though, do you have a plan on how you plan to achieve that and turn it into a tangible metric?
I do. I absolutely do. And there are some things that are future based that I'm not going to share because there's certain like stepping stones. But the one I can tell you about right now is the one that I'm in the present. Right. And this is why I said it's like there's seasons of it, too, because I can always see where this season is and when the next one might start. You know, and I don't know if the next season will be like the big part of this plan, or if there's going to be an intermediary season that I can't see yet with some other, you know, like
some purpose. Well, I'll give you a great example of something.
Yeah.
So on that, and this is why I actually call myself a motivational storyteller, not a speaker, because everything's
like
a story.
It. Yeah.
So one of the guys I'm working with is we're doing this thing where, again, we kind of look down the line and said, you know, what's your compass? What's your true north? How do you die? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we start working our way back, and he's stuck on 12 years out. He's 33 years old. He's crushing it. And in his thing where he starts writing the vision, it's these declarative statements. Okay. So, you know, if you were like, I am doing this thing that impacts billions of people, his was, you know, I'm a respected executive leader in my industry, blah, blah, blah. All right. Well, he's in a technology related industry. So the very first thing I had to ask him is, well, what's it going to look like in 12 years?
Yeah.
This industry didn't exist 10 years ago. And so then we have to begin to think about all these potential variables, right? You can't. We're predicting the future that 10 years ago we wouldn't have known existed. So I then have to turn the attention to them. Where I think a lot of us get screwed up as kids is they ask us, what do we want to be when we grow up?
Yeah, yeah.
When they should ask us, who do we want to be when we grow up?
Amen.
Because that's what I'm working with him on now. Because here's the thing. I showed him this exact same thing that I had done 10 years ago. And right now, at this date in my life, I'm supposed to be like some super sales executive, like vice president of all global sales industry and the whole logistics industry. And everybody was going to know who I am. And well, I don't want any of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who do I want to be? I want to be somebody who helps others.
Yeah. Right on. That's the thing that I'm with you on that is that so many get caught up in the what. You know, it's like around it. That's why I'm even saying it's like, you know, I know there's this other part that will be a season, but that's still a who, and there might be an intermediary season. And I don't know what that looks like, man. You know, that might be in the middle. I think there might be this intermediary season between those two, but I know who I'm going to be in that intermediary season. I know who I am right now, having a public company and building wealth for so many people that are involved in this, people that would have never been able to build generational wealth prior to this. You know, to give them a foundation because money has a lot of emotion tied to it. And it's almost like, it's like setting a lot of people free from like that fear, you know, and teaching a lot of people that money is more so a tool than anything else. It's not the end all and be all. We're not just made to be here, you know, pay bills and die. You know, that's not what it's about, you know? So it's like bringing people from that purpose from A to B right now. And then when that season's over at some point, right, because company's public, and then we'll uplist the NASDAQ and I'll be CEO for a little while, maybe chairman and founder at some point. And then I don't know when, I'm sure I will exit completely, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, and then it's moving into the next season.
And yeah, I was going to say, you're not a guy who's going to take that next season sailing, so no, you'll get into something.
Definitely not. No, exactly. Yeah. So you look at all that stuff and it's like, that's my biggest fear is not having enough time to accomplish all of that, you know, or
so
not.
Back to the original question about the coaching aspect then, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, I mean, if we got into the granular details, there would be some insight I'm sure I could give that would help be helpful. But that said, You've got the turning the vision into an actionable plan part. The part that I would have to coach you on is accepting the fact that you're not going to get it all done.
Wow, that's powerful.
You're not.
Yeah.
And God, I hate to say this, but you know, bro, we could die today.
Yeah, for sure.
Right now.
Yep.
It'd be that random ass earthquake, that random ass tornado, the second eclipse of the sun, whatever the hell. And the reason I know this too is because I've almost died like 11 damn times.
Yeah.
And it's not even about what I've went through. It is the countless friends that I have lost along the way. I lost somebody the other week, 42 years old, to a stroke. He has a baby girl. So it's not that I'll just tell you this, you're not going to. So we have to embrace that level of failure, but also embrace the futility of it and know that it's about the purpose and impact we can make while we can. So really, if I were coaching you, it would be on developing this mindset of, was I intentional with my time today? Did I spend my time? Am I spending my time right now moving towards my goals or away from them? Because outside of that vacuum, you don't have any other control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, so you're fixed. Send me a check. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, that would also be, and this would be somebody who would probably pay me for months and months and months and should, because it is regular work. And I would have to constantly reassure them that it's okay to disconnect yourself from the outcome.
Yeah.
You know, we're responsible for the effort. And by the way, this is also how I stay sober. It's how I reduce anxiety in my life. I'm responsible for the effort.
Yeah.
I put the plan together. It's my job to execute the plan. It is my job not to let fear, doubt, or excuses get in the way of the plan or any other distractions or, you know, laziness. It's okay for me to rest when I need to rest so I can recharge, as long as it's helping me support the high energy that I need to go after my goals. My purpose to overcome every obstacle and inspire others that they can too. That also doesn't mean I'm going to successfully overcome every obstacle. And that doesn't mean that I failed at my purpose just because something redirects me or has more power over me. Mine is to take the actions that are aligned with my purpose.
If I had like a mic drop sound effect right now, that's what would be used, because dude, you just, and this is a perfect place for us to stop on an amazing high note, because you just gave millions of people permission to be human. Okay, and I'm soaking it in right now too, because it's like, you think about that. It's like, did I accomplish everything today that I wanted to, that I needed to? And the answer is almost always no, bro. You know, did I get everything done today that I wanted to? And it's, you know, 9 times out of 10, it is. Nope, sure didn't. And that's okay.
And that's also why you have to set these big goals.
Yeah.
Right? Your goal is huge. It's so big, you literally can't even count it.
Yeah, right.
All right? You're trying to count your goal. It's so big.
I just know it looks too small. For real, it's like, no, wait a second. I think I'm thinking way bigger than that. It's like,
because a lot of people go in the other way and they say, I'm going to help 10 people. And if that works, I'll add 10 more. But that's why they don't accomplish it. And the thing is, I ran the Boston Marathon for my first marathon, and it was 6 months after a car accident where I couldn't run a mile.
Wow.
All right. I don't set small goals. I tried to run New York in under 4 hours with a broken foot. I failed miserably, but I ran New York and raised $10,000 for charity. Like, I set really big goals, because resilience thrives when there is a deep sense of purpose.
Oh man, I love who you are. Yeah, and notice I'm being intentional with my words, not saying what you do, because it's like, who you are is way more important than what you actually do. StrideMotivation.com, right? That's where people can find you.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Nick, you're amazing, man. Thanks for bringing the energy and just lifting everybody up today. This has been incredible for me too. Thanks for coaching me on the spot too. I think that made things pretty interesting and awesome to hear too. I loved it.
Well, I'm glad we found something that might work too. Yeah. So I appreciate it. But thanks for having me.